You know, I'm sure all of us have had those times in our lives where, thinking about the future, thinking about what's going to happen, and worry just kind of overwhelms us. Anxiety just kind of gets a grip on us and throws us to the mat. And when that happens, we become pretty discouraged. You know, we feel kind of hopeless. We kind of, don't know what the future has, and kind of want to throw our hands up and give up. Now, we've been looking at this series called The Discouraged Believer. And there's a lot of reasons that we get discouraged, and we all get discouraged at times. We're all human. We all go through struggles. And I think one of the big struggles that often discourage followers of Jesus Christ is worry. You know, worry is an active force. It's a power which can get a grip on us and slowly strangle us. Because when we worry, we forget about who the Lord is. We forget about His person. We forget about His power. We forget about His promise. Everything becomes inward focus. Everything becomes a mirror that reflects back to us. Sometimes we find it hard to break through that cycle. Now, anticipating a problem or being prepared for a bad outcome is a mark of intelligence, but excessive worrying is not. Worry is tiring, pointless, and in most cases, an invention of our own futile imagination. I came across this in my files, and I don't know where I got it, so I can't source it. I don't even know if it's scientific or not, but I like it, so I'm going to tell it to you. Here's what people worry about. Problems that solve themselves, 40%. Problems that have no solution in things or situations that cannot be changed, 35%. Things that turn out better than you believe that they would, 15%. Petty, useless, worthless worries, 8%. Legitimate worries, 2%. Now, a little test here. 2%. If that's true, and that sounds pretty true. I mean, just thinking about my own self. I mean, rarely does anything you worry about happen, right? You get these wild, crazy scenarios, and what if this happens? You get panicky. Here's a little test. 98% of the stuff we worry about doesn't take place. But the real worriers in here are saying, yeah, but what about that 2%? That's what I'm worried about, right? Worry. We all go through it. All have those times. And today we're going to see that our Savior, Jesus Christ, His solution is to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes back in our relationship with Him. Who He is. Promises He's made. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6, and of course that's in the Sermon on the Mount, sermon that Jesus gave. And Jesus is going to tell us this morning that worry is foolish and it cannot secure life. We'll begin by looking at Matthew 6, verse 24. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Jesus says, our allegiance matters. If our allegiance is to wealth, if our allegiance is to things, if our allegiance is just to accumulate, we're going to have a lot of worry. We're going to have a lot to watch over and protect because we're afraid we're going to lose it. On the other hand, Jesus says, but if your focus is on God and who He is, worry's not going to strangle you. And doesn't mean you can't have things. God doesn't tell us that. But what matters is, where is your outlook? So Jesus says, when your outlook is upon God, it begins to dissipate the worry. So Jesus is going to tell us three things. Here's the first one. Worry is unnecessary, beginning with verse 25, Matthew 6. Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And the way this construction is, he expects a yes answer. Yes, it is more than that. Sure, it's more than that. You know that. So the principle he tells us is, do not be worried. He's going to say it five times. He's going to use the word worry. Some of your versions have anxiety. Verse 25, 27, 28, 31, and 34. Now, Jesus' time when he's speaking this, obviously a different world than we live in right now. I mean, there was no refrigeration. There was no supermarkets. No insurance agencies. No savings plans, banks. So pretty much your life was day to day. You had to worry about, is there going to be enough food? Because it was an agrarian society. Then you had to make that food every day. You had to make your clothes. You know, every day you had to get through that day and focus on that day. It wasn't like you went to, you know, to Walmart and bought a bunch of stuff, put it in the refrigerator, stocked your pantry. You know, put money aside for saving for the future. Most people were poor. It was a day-to-day existence. So Jesus tells them, stop worrying. And in particular, he's talking about the basics here. Food, drink, clothing. You know, again, for us, North Shore, that's kind of hard to imagine. You know, everybody in here, and I say this with conviction, I don't think anybody in here is worried about starving today. I don't think there's one family. If you are, please come let us know. We will help you. I promise you that. You know, we support the food bank. Been doing it for years. It provides food for people. You know, I'm sure there might be very few, but most people aren't starving to death in St. Tammany Parish. But there is a concern. So the point is, we worry about other things, but Jesus kind of brings it down to the basic. And he says, stop worrying because your life is from God. He knows you. He knows all about you. He created you. He cares for you. So when worry gets the best of us, we forget that. We forget that. Wait a minute, Lord. You know me. You know my needs. You know all about me. You know, thinking about this, you think about toddlers, okay? I mean, what happens to toddlers? They just get up and they live their life. They fall down, they hurt themselves, you know, they come run to you, you hug them, you know, oh, it's going to be all right. You're always assuring them, encouraging them. You know, you don't say, now listen, Junior, you might not have dinner tonight. Daddy got laid off and things are a little tight. You don't do that to your toddler. You provide for them. They just trust you that you're going to take care of them all the time. And any responsible parent does that. That's how our Heavenly Father is with us. We're called to be children. We're called to depend upon Him, to trust Him. He knows my basic needs. That's what He's talking about, basic needs. Not necessarily all my wants and greeds. But He knows my basic needs. So He says, do not be worried. Now He's going to illustrate that principle by three things. First of all, with food, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much worth much more than they are? Birds. You know, they're flying around. I mean, they eat worms. They eat insects. They diligently have to go look for food, but God takes care of a bird. He says, you're far more valuable than a bird. This past week, sitting on my deck, sitting out there, and God always does this. It seems like brings me something, you know, what I'm going to be preaching on. And there was a little bird up in, you know, an oak tree in my backyard just singing away. And I was just looking at it thinking, look at that bird, you know? I mean, God knows this little, I don't know what kind of bird it was. It might have been a sparrow. I'm not a bird watcher. I don't know. But just singing away, I'm thinking, God, you know this bird. When he falls, you know that. When he flies around, you know that. How much more do you know me? I'm created in your image, as all of us are. We have a soul. We have a spirit that's going to live on eternally. So if you care for that bird, surely you care for me. So he says, look at the birds. You're far more valuable than them. Now, what Jesus is not doing is advocating laziness. He's not saying, well, just be idle. God's going to take care of you. He's going to feed you. Matter of fact, later on, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he's not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Paul rebukes some of them. It's like, well, you know, God's going to take care of us. Jesus might be coming back. Why work? No, he says. If you're healthy, responsible, you're to work. You're to take care. God's going to provide, but he provides through our work. So, back to Matthew. He talks about do not worry because of the food. Second of all, about your future, verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Some of your versions say a cubit. A cubit was about 18 inches. The point he was making is this, whether it's hour or cubit, nobody can add to their life by worrying. Matter of fact, as we know, research has shown by worrying, by stress, you could cut your life short, right? Just the opposite can take place. You can't add to it, but you can sure shorten it. Well, if I worry a little more, maybe I'll scratch out another year on the earth. No, you won't. Jesus says that's impossible. Your future is in God's hands. He knows your future. He knows the end. And when that time comes, it'll be in his hands. So he says, worrying about it, you're not going to add anything to your life. Then last of all, he says worrying's bad. The third illustration is because of fashion. Verse 28, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Grass, lilies, transient, short-lived. But you are eternal. You are immortal. Your soul is going to live on. Now, you go buy some flowers, let's say, maybe a dozen beautiful roses. How long are they going to last? A week? Then they're going to die. About your grass, One of the nice things about the drought was I didn't have to cut my grass as much. But now when it starts raining, you got to cut it every week, right? But I mean, think about it. Week, maybe go a few weeks, doesn't live on, it dies. If God knows about that, how much more about you? Grass, lilies. How much more will he take care of you, clothe you, provide what you need? Let's be honest. Worry, let's call it for what it is, can be a sin. We don't think about that. Oh, this guy's a terrible guy. Look what he's doing. But hey, you might worry every day and fret all day. That could be sinful. Because what it's saying is, I'm not trusting God. Oh, yeah, I trust him for my salvation. But the little things I got to take care of. No, you don't. You're called to be responsible and diligent to what he's called you to do, and that leave the rest to him. So we worry about things, and worry becomes a lack of trust. We act like atheists. I believe in God, but we practically sometimes act like atheists. I got to do it all myself. Now listen, there's a tension here. You know, I say this quite often. When it comes to theology, there's often a tension. And the tension is, I'm called to be diligent. I'm called to be disciplined. I'm called to work. The scripture clearly talks about that. Proverbs over and over. I'm called to plan. But at the same time, it's not all about me. I'm called to trust God. Well, where's one? I don't know. They're both there. They're both there. So when I worry, I make it all about me, that I've got to take care of everything. You know, my daddy, he was a designated worrier. I got to worry. If I don't worry, who's going to worry? He used to say that. It's like, yeah, I guess so, you know. Somebody's got to do it. Probably every family's got that, designated worrier. Concern, yes. Lack of faith, lack of trust, no. You know, we trust God for our salvation. We trust that Christ died to pay the penalty for our sins and will give us eternal life. But we don't trust him for our daily sustenance. And the result is discouragement. Get discouraged. Things aren't working out like I had planned. Things aren't working out like I thought they would. And so, you know, maybe I need to do this. I haven't done it. And so you get discouraged. Then you find yourself saying, and God, where are you at in this whole thing? Well, it's where it was all along. Circumstances begin to master us. Thoughts begin to control us. We get bludgeoned on a daily basis. Instead of controlling our thoughts, they control us. And we become 2%ers. Oh, yeah, that 2%. Got to worry about that every day. Listen, God has a loving, caring concern for his children. Cares for birds, grass, flowers. How much more? His own, that Christ paid the penalty. He bought us with a price so that we might be his. We're a child of the King. Well, he says worry is unnecessary, but then second, he says worry is uncharacteristic. Verse 31, do not worry. Fourth time he's using that word. Then saying, what will we eat? And what will we drink? And what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Jesus is saying when we worry, instead of acting like a child of the King, uncharacteristically, we act like a pagan. We act like an atheist. We care only about right here. We forget who God is. That's what he's saying. The Gentiles seek all these things. The Gentiles make mammon, make things, make money their God. God says, you're to be different. God is to be your God. God is to be your focus. Because they eagerly seek after things. That is their lifestyle. Ongoing. He says, you're to be different. Because you have a Heavenly Father who knows you intimately. Who knows your needs? Who's not going to kick you on the curb? You know, good luck. So it's uncharacteristic when we worry. Then he says in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Kingdom should be our concern. The kingdom, that is the sphere of salvation, the spiritual aspect, where Christ reigns, where Christ rules. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that is holiness, godliness. That should be our priority. Not how much money can I make, how much things can I accumulate, how big can my portfolio be. Now, notice what he says, though. He doesn't say, if you seek the kingdom, you're going to be poor the rest of your life. He says, no, seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. God can provide abundantly. God can bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Solomon, David's son. David died, and Solomon became king. And God appears to Solomon, and he says, Solomon, ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you. So Solomon doesn't ask to be wealthy, doesn't ask that he would crush all his enemies. He asks for wisdom, that he might take care of this great commitment that he has. And God says, Solomon, because you asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you riches also. And God does that sometimes. He blesses people beyond their imaginations. Okay, and that's a great thing. Especially when those are seeking the kingdom first and wealth comes with it, that they use that wealth to increase the kingdom. I love when I hear stories like that. Who's the guy, a Chick-fil-A guy? He's one of those guys. Truett, Kathy, I think that's his name. Yeah. I mean, that's all this, but he just popped in my mind. So he says, be concerned about the kingdom. God knows your needs. He can meet those. I mean, if he's taking care of your eternal soul, he can take care of your next meal. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's where your passion should lie, he says. The glory of God is our focus. Not worrying about things, but Lord, what can I do for your kingdom? It doesn't mean quit your job. Unless he calls you to do that, maybe do something different. So worry is not only unnecessary, it's uncharacteristic. And third, worry is unwise, verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not worry. Don't even start worrying is how it said. Don't even start it, okay? Because you have a knowledge of a personal, caring God that liberates you from worry. All needs in this life are given by God's provision because each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, most every day, there's something I got to deal with. You know, maybe if it's just something little, something big, but, you know, there's trouble in life. And it's never going to change on this planet while we're in this body, okay? So he says, you're going to have trouble. So why compound the trouble that you're going to have today by adding by trouble, by worrying about troubles down the road that you have absolutely no power over? Oh, but I got to do it. Wait a minute. What about today? That's what he's saying. Deal with today, your troubles of today. Each one come one by one. I can remember years ago, I always laugh at this. Somebody in the church, you know, said, man, you know, whatever, I can't remember what was going on. It wasn't anything big, but something going on. And he said, you know, I always got something going on around here, you know. When's this going to stop? Like, all of a sudden, we're going to become a perfect church. Nobody's ever going to have a trouble again. Everything's going to be, it's like, wait, that's not going to happen this side of heaven. It's called life. So he says, you got enough trouble for today. Now listen, let me say this. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Jesus is not saying, don't worry about anything. Some of you, you know, my age or older, remember Mad Magazine? There was this guy, Alfred E. Newman, okay? You know, he had these freckles and a big gap in his tooth, and his thing was, what, me worry? You know, like Alfred E. Newman could care less about anything. He's not saying that attitude. Because the scripture is very clear, the book of Proverbs, many times, planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying, though, about tomorrow is time wasted. Sometimes it's difficult, though, to tell the difference. Let's be honest. You know, where's planning stop, worrying pick up, or worrying stop, plan? You know, I don't always know, but we're called to plan. You know, we're called to look down the future. That's being wise. Worrying, though, is being unwise. And careful planning and thinking ahead and trusting God, it'll often alleviate worry. You know, insurance. Probably most of us have insurance. I think that's a wise thing. Well, how much should you get? I don't know. Savings. That's a wise thing. Well, how much should I save? I don't know. See, that's where the rub comes in, where you got to, you know, I'm saving so much for the future, but what about now? What about giving to God? Oh, well, no, I got to save. I can't. Wait a minute. Oh, you know, I'm got all this insurance. I'm spending so much money. Well, wait, what about now? I don't know. I can't answer those questions for you. I'm just saying that there's a tension there. But clearly we need to wrestle with those things and not be so foolish and unwise to think that I can control it all. I can plan it all. I'm going to lay out this plan. It's going to go just like I want. That's foolish. But I'm going to have a plan, God. But you're part of that plan. You're in the mix of the plan. I'm not going to forget you in the plan. Because everything that I have day by day is because you've provided. Because as we sang earlier, great is your faithfulness. This very breath that you're taking right now is only because God's allowing you to take it. So, there's a tension there. And so worry, consumed by fear and wanting to control all, is missing. Missing trust in God. So, there is a difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry immobilizes, but concern causes you to have a plan of action. Now, let me close with this. I think the main action for believers is to come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. I mean, think about prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is dependence. Prayer is acknowledging, Lord, I can't do all this. It's too big. Life gets too heavy, too complicated, too difficult. But you know what's going on. So prayer is just a dependence of giving all that I have and all that I am over to God, trusting that He is going to carry out His plan that'll bring glory to Him and provide for me. So how do we break the worry cycle? Well, Peter tells us, first of all, in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt. He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, this is Peter. Peter had heard this sermon, probably heard it preached more than once that Jesus just preached. So Peter knew he'd been with Jesus, he'd seen Jesus. So now Peter, writing to some scattered Christians, writes him this. And he says, humble yourself. The word there is allow yourself to be humbled. Let me ask you, do you allow that? Or do you hold on so tight and say, I've got to be in control, I'm not letting go? Or do you say, Lord, it's yours? See, that's where it's got to start. I'm doing the best I can. But at some point, God says, okay, I got you. I got you covered. You can't do it all. So humble yourself under His mighty hand. At the proper time, He will exalt you. And how do you humble yourself? By casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. Casting, the word there is the same word that Jesus, when they took the blanket and they put it on the donkey the day Jesus came into His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, you know, called Palm Sunday. They cast the blanket on the donkey. That's the same picture, that we take all our anxieties, all this weight, and we cast them upon Jesus. Lord, take this. My money I'm struggling with, my finances, my health, my children, my school, my parents, my job. We cast them upon Him, Lord. This is hard. That's what He's saying. Throw it upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Back to Matthew chapter 6. He cares for the birds, cares for the grass, the flowers. He cares for you even more, so much so that He sent Jesus Christ to die in your place, to pay the penalty for your sin, to take the punishment upon Himself for your sin so that He might give His righteousness put to your account so that you might be saved eternally. Does He really care for me? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. That's how much He cares. He was willing to die. So whenever you doubt God's care, think about the cross. Jesus did that willingly. So we come to God with our worry, with our anxiety. And we trust ourselves to him because he's a caring father. Again, just like a mother with a child, you know, and the mother's, like I said, leave me alone, son, I got too many problems. Go, you know, take care of it yourself, my little two-year-old. Go feed, make your own dinner. Nobody, no caring mother does that. Surely God's not going to do that to us. Just the opposite. Come, he says. Come, keep casting. Don't ever stop. You can throw it all on me. It's never too heavy. Then Paul tells us almost the same thing, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, he's not talking about be carefree, irresponsible, but he says pray instead of worry. Be anxious for nothing. Listen, here's how I think it needs to, every time anxiety comes upon you, that crashes upon you, at that time, pray. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, driving in your car, sitting at home, at your desk, in school, worry begins to come over you. Happens to everybody, right? Be anxious for nothing. Lord, I give this over, and start praying. You know, you don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to go, you know, go find a corner and kneel in, right wherever you are. Paul says, pray without ceasing. So he says, be anxious for nothing. Pray instead of worrying. You know, back on my kids, when they both went off to college, you know, I mean, sometimes I say ignorance is bliss, okay? I don't know what they were doing. They were in college, you know. I couldn't be there with them. But here's every night. Still do it, you know. Go to bed at night before I lay down, Lord. Watch over Dave and Lizzie, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, get them home safely, protect them. I can't control them. You know, I can't let my anxiety, I can't do it. I could do it, but what good's it going to do, right? But Lord, wherever they are, your arm's a lot longer than mine. You could care for them. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Anything in your life that's not covered there? Everything. Big, little, money, health, relationships, family, school, job. Go down the list. Everything. Boy, that anxiety begins to creep over you. Oh, God, Lord, I need grace and comfort. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus wants us to be yoked with us, to be with us, to throw our cares upon him because he cares for us. So we come dependent. We come in everything. We come regularly. And he says by prayer, that's a general word, to come to approach, to draw near. Prayer and supplication. Supplication is more particular requests. You know, Lord, I need prayer for da, da, da. Requests, that's petitions of men to God. Now, how are you to come? With thanksgiving. See, we don't just say, okay, God, I need this, I need that. Sometimes you do when you're desperate. But the attitude should be one of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for all that you've given me, done for me, provided for me, blessed me with. Oh, man, because of that, Lord, I need this right now. I'm not coming just to whine, but I'm coming, Lord, because I am needy. You've blessed me over and over. I've got so much to be thankful for. And that's the attitude that I come with. And we don't forget his past mercies. We don't forget how good he's been to us. As we sang earlier, how faithful he's been to us each and every day. And let your request be made known to God. That word be made, is the tense is keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on as much as you need to. Throughout the day, over and over, pray instead of worry. You know, it was this dumb song back in the 80s, I think. You probably remember, don't worry, be happy. Well, let's paraphrase that. Don't worry, pray. Whatever it is. Listen, worry cannot secure your life. Worry can't put food on the table. Worry can't, you know, pay a bill. Worry can't get you through the hospital visit. Because worry just leads to discouragement. Worry leads to hopelessness. Worry leads to forgetting who God is and what he's done for you. So start consciously. When that worry comes, and it's going to come, we're all human. Okay, let me lift this up in prayer. Let me come to my Heavenly Father, because I know he cares for me. And when I begin to doubt that, I look at Jesus. Jesus died for me. Nothing worthy in me, no reason to. Only by his pure grace, unmerited favor, that Christ would die to pay the penalty for my sin. That Christ would take the punishment I deserved upon himself and in its place put to my account his goodness, his righteousness. Why? Because he loved me. Why did he love me? Nothing good inside of Jerry Hobrin. Strictly by his own choosing. So when you begin to doubt, begin to get anxious, go to Jesus. Turn it over to him. She'll make life a lot easier. Let's pray right now. Father, as we close in prayer, I pray, Lord, for all of us in here, if we put all the worries together of everybody in here, it would be beyond what we could ever count. But for every one of those worries, you say, come to me. For the believer in Jesus Christ, God says, bring them all on. There's nothing I can't handle. Big, small, doesn't matter. So I pray, Lord, as we leave here today, that we might become more God conscious in our daily life, that we might become quicker instead of just to kind of panic, to turn things over to you, to look to you in a trust that you're going to do the right thing. Doesn't take away our planning, doesn't make us irresponsible, but there's that tension there. But may all of us find the balance within that. So we thank you, Lord, that you care for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.